Welcome to episode 4 of the Hiring Success Podcast. I'm your host, Kaya, editorial manager for Smart Recruiters, and this month I've been talking to the very zen Talisa Humphrey, recruiting senior analyst at Optimizely. Talisa is a dedicated data analyst with years of experience in organizing and analyzing hiring metrics. Her goal at Optimizely is to provide reliable reports to empower recruiting team members, hiring managers, and leaders with the data they need to make insightful decisions. In this interview, we're talking about the Hiring Success 19 Hackathon, where Talisa led the team that took gold. Every year, Smart Recruiters puts together a hackathon where teams test the limits of our APIs and their creativity by building an add-on feature to the Smart Recruiters platform in just 24 hours, all for the grand prize of $5,000. While each team competed admirably, Optimizely took the grand prize with Get the Door, It's Action Center, an app that solves for task completion lag time. So let's hear it all from the behind the scenes of their victory. Hi, Talisa. Welcome to the Hiring Success Podcast. Today, we want to talk about the hack you developed at Hiring Success 19 in San Francisco. You and a team of three other people spent 24 hours creating an add-on to the Smart Recruiter system called Get the Door, It's Action Center. So maybe you can tell us a bit about your hack and what it does.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Talisa, and I'm an analyst here on our recruiting team at Optimizely. And part of my job as an analyst is to just work with the team to not only configure our system when we were first implementing Smart Recruiters, but also just to navigate the day-to-day issues that come up. And while we're going through that process, we heard a lot of feedback from our hiring managers that they just wanted a clear place to tell them, like, what do I need to do? If I only have a couple minutes between meetings, and I know that I haven't been spending as much time with Smart Recruiters as I should be, what do I need to focus on today? And so that's how the idea of the hackathon was kind of created. It's one of their top asks. And so it was really cool to be able to sit and work with a designer on the Smart Recruiter side. He helped to really bring this idea to life. And then he was a really great intermediary between us and the actual engineers. So we had two engineers on our team. So it was me, a designer, engineers, building this idea and just bringing it to life. So that was really cool.
Okay. So that's really cool that you were able to kind of like leverage the experience that you had with your own hiring team and those challenges and take it here. So the judges responded really positively. You guys took home the prize. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could tell us what it's actually like to do a 24-hour hackathon. I've never done it. I'm sure that a lot of people out there haven't. Can you give us the inside scoop?
Sure, I would love to. Yeah, I think my experience was definitely different from the engineer's experience. But we started around noon, so we actually met and just did introductions because I hadn't actually worked with those engineers before. Okay. And so that was really nice. We developed a rapport, we had lunch, we talked about the idea once more. I did a little bit of whiteboarding, which is actually my favorite. And then it was a lot more quiet time than I anticipated. It was like, as soon as they knew what they needed to do, they got to building. But it was great to have me in the room because as questions come up throughout the process, I was able to answer it. But time kind of flew by, a lot of quiet time, heads down time. And then I actually left for the day around like 6 or 7. I think the engineers were there a lot later. So for me, it wasn't as much of a 24-hour hackathon, to be honest. It was more like an afternoon / early evening, and then I came back in the morning and was like, so how'd it go? And then in the morning we just kind of reviewed where they left off, like since I had left. And the rest of the morning was actually spent, you know, a lot more animated than the previous day. And I spent a lot of time with the designer focusing on the pitch. So yeah, day one was a lot of quiet work time. Day two was a lot of, okay, here's what you're actually going to say. Here's what it's going to look like on stage.
Okay. And thinking about the pitch, if I'm a hiring manager and you're pitching this to me, could you walk me through what it would be like when I open this add-on and how would it affect my work?
Sure. Yeah, when I talk to my hiring managers about it, I just tell them, this is a really great tool that we built specifically with you in mind, so I hope that you're getting the best benefit out of it. The cool thing is available right on your phone. You don't need to log into your laptop. So just take out your phone, go directly to the Action Center, and it's going to tell you in two separate sections, first of all, the reviews that you have to submit based on this particular stage. So here are all of your candidates. And the stage that we chose was, I think it was just hiring manager review. So here are all the candidates and hiring manager review that you have to review. As soon as you say yay or nay, it's going to clear out from this Action Center so you can see your progress rather real time. And then the bottom just lets you keep track of all the reviews that your team members are supposedly submitting. So you can just send them gentle nudges if they haven't really submitted their review. So easy peasy, really good way to give you as a hiring manager insight into what you and your team members need to do to move things forward.
Mm-hmm. That second part of it where the hiring managers can actually nudge other people on the teams was one of the coolest parts to me because it really involves them in the process. So it's not always the recruiter kind of tapping people on the shoulder.
Yes. I'm glad you said that. I love that too, because recruiters often have so many different things to handle. And I think their primary focus should be on keeping our candidates feeling loved. Yeah. And if you can take some of that administrative work away from the recruiters and really put the ownership on the hiring managers to get their interviewers to do the right thing, then that just makes this seamless process for everyone.
Yeah. And it's more of a community effort. That's really cool. It sounds like it kind of just went smoothly by. You said it went faster than you thought. Was there any part that was really challenging for you and the team?
Yes. I think the most challenging part was just like taking this big idea, and I have no idea what it takes to build it. So I think the initial hours was really frustrating because I felt like the idea cut diluted even to like this small little fragment of what I had in mind. And it took a lot of work with the designer and the engineers to just be like, we have to be realistic about what we can build in a day. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to set my expectations appropriately.
Okay.
I think that was the most difficult part, just because when I go into it, I knew that like, this would be great if it could be built, and I don't know what parts of it could be built. But once I had a better understanding of what the actual product would look like, then it was smoother sailing for sure.
Yeah. That's really interesting to me. I didn't realize that people were coming from all these different skill sets. So you're coming in with the idea, engineers are coming in with the knowledge of building. What advice would you give kind of the idea person if they were to participate in this hackathon?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think my advice would just to be, have an idea that has a multifaceted approach that you can break down into smaller pieces if necessary. I think coming into it with a really great idea that's going to wow the judges could be cool, but if you can't build it at the end, then no one really wins. So I think the fact that we had all these different components that we could have added on if we had time, like I'm trying to remember one of the other components. but we had, I think, a list of five things that I brought to the table when we ended up going with the two. Just the fact that we could whittle away as needed. And then the idea was that, like, hey, we can either make these two things really, really snazzy, or we can add a third and it won't be nearly as developed, really helped me out. So that's my advice, is just to have a few things that you can whittle down if necessary.
Okay, yeah. And it's great that you came with something that could also be built out potentially. Yes, it's starting with these two things, but, you know, in your pitch you mentioned, there is room for growth. And definitely. I think that gets people excited.
Yeah, and even if they don't build it that day, I think that the fact that I was able to tell the engineers directly what we're looking for is helpful, because it might turn into an enhancement down the line, fingers crossed.
We're all waiting. Switching gears a little bit,
sure.
I'm just curious because, you know, you work at Optimizely, and I always want to know how, you know, the company itself affects how the talent acquisition team does its job. So Optimizely is thinking about user experience a ton, and I want to know how that affects the way your team recruits?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. We spend a lot of time thinking about experimentation and how you can't just continue to do business as is. That's the best way for your business to fail. So we like to, I call it drinking your own champagne. A lot of people here call it eating your own dog food, which bothers me for some reason. But
I like the champagne idea better. Right? I'm going to be real.
Right? It's just more appetizing. Pass on the dog food. But so the culture here at Optimizely is one of experimentation. So our recruiting team embodies that as well. Mm-hmm. So whenever we're thinking of how to improve the process, if there are people who are just like, I'm not sure how that's going to work, that's a really great thing to say. It's fair. Let's just experiment and try it out. And we're going to set the parameters of our experiment. We're going to try it on this many recruiters rather than the entire team. We're going to try it for this length of time. And then we're going to report back to the entire team and decide whether to roll it out from there. Mm-hmm. So that's a process that I've really enjoyed experiencing real time. And it just makes it seem like what it is, like the entire culture here and the day-to-day processes on our recruiting team, everyone has input into, because we're all building this experiment together and we're not rolling it out until the experiment is a success.
Okay. What's really cool to me about what you just said is that you're kind of structuring this experiment. The outcome is obviously open-ended, but you're saying this is how long we're going to do it for. You know, this is the group that we're going to do it with. Is there a right way and a wrong way to experiment? Do you have to put, you know, these certain things on it in order to really get people going and to be able to measure it?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that there's no wrong way to hold an experiment, but realistically, I do feel like the one requirement is that you do have exactly what you just said, a way to measure your results. Because you would hate to get to the end of the experiment and be like, how'd it go? And then everyone has a different experience with how it went. So starting at the beginning of like, this is our goal, this is how we're going to measure it. And then getting to the end and say like, how do we measure? I think it's just helpful for keeping everyone on the same page as regarding like what it is that we're actually solving for. But other than that, I think, yeah, no other wrong way to do it. So that's my only recommendation, I think, is just to be clear on the objective and how you're going to measure it.
Okay, yeah. Do you recall an experiment that your team has done recently or in the recent past that was kind of cool?
Yeah, I think it's cool. But we were experimenting with pretty recently how to encourage how to say this diplomatically, for the hiring teams to accept our calendar appointments, basically. So we were noticing when our recruiting coordinators are the ones who schedule our on-site interviews here. And we were noticing, even though their calendars appeared to be free, once we actually set the schedule in Smart Recruiters, we were getting a lot of declines from our interviewers, which meant we had to edit the schedule in Smart Recruiters, and then we had to notify the candidate, hey, the schedule is changing. So our experiment was to start with our sales team. So only candidates interviewing with sales. We confirmed their schedule outside of Smart Recruiters first via Google Calendar with holds. And as soon as you put a hold on someone's calendar, they get like, oh no, no, I can't do it that time. I have this flight that's not on my calendar for some reason. I'm actually going to be in the air. So having that hold was a great incentive for the team to say like, oh no, I actually can't make this time. And then we had them, you know, provide substitutes, we rejig things, and then we have the final schedule, and that's when it actually goes into Smart Recruiters. So by the time it goes into Smart Recruiters, the interviewers already know what day and time it's going to be, and it's just a matter of making it official. So that experiment went really well. Our goal was to reduce the amount of reschedules that are occurring in Smart Recruiters itself. And so we definitely saw a reduction after the media schedule was made. We still have an issue with people declining last minute, like, oh, this customer meeting came up. So that is something that we will tackle at another time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the immediate goal for that experiment was met. We saw fewer people declining the invites right after they were sent. We had fewer reasons to send like an oopsies email to our candidates.
Okay. And that's really nice because it's one of the hardest and most time-consuming parts of the recruiting process is to get everyone in the same room to meet each other. And it's one of the most important as well. And it's actually encouraging the hiring managers to make more use out of their Google Calendar and make sure everybody's up to date. So people are getting more used to putting in there.
For sure. A lot of people think that their calendars are up to date, but it's not until you get a meeting appointment for a time that doesn't work that you realize you have a little bit more work to do.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I love about your position as a recruiting analyst is that you're really future facing. You have your hands on tech, on data, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but are there any trends or new things on the horizon that you are excited about for recruiting?
This is actually a first time for me with this
first
question.
Time, yes.
Yeah, and I am failing to think of something. I know this is something that I've been thinking about since we started the interview, but honestly, I have noticed a trend as far as a lot of different organizations trying to, how do I say this? There are a lot of different companies who are trying to corner one part of the talent acquisition market and really become subject matter experts in that one part. So like I joined recruiting as a campus recruiter actually almost a decade ago. Wow. And at that point you were looking for an ATS to solve all of your needs, an ATS one system to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed the trend is kind of moving away from that. And the more integrations, the better is the trend that I'm noticing. And it's like a lot more work to find the perfect, you know, interview scheduling tool that you want to add to your ATS or the perfect CRM to add on top of it. So it's making things a lot more interesting for me as an analyst because I do deal with like integrations and making sure we get to gather all of our data in one place. And so I'm not sure how I feel about the trend overall. I think it definitely makes sense to have people who are experts in that arena, right? Like our ATS platform can't be perfect at everything. So we might have to supplement things here and there, but it does make things a little more tricky when it comes to making sure they all run smoothly together. Yes. And making sure we get the data that we need to continue to get the insights from our process.
Okay, yeah. This whole kind of ecosystem and the APIs and everything's going in. I kind of like your Zen attitude about it. Like you're noticing it happen, you seeing how it's kind of affecting things, but you know, it is the experiment. And I feel like it's the experimenter in you that's kind of waiting to see how does it really pan out. You don't need to judge it right now.
Right. I'm going to steal that language for my next evaluation. Like, you know, just be Zen about it. Yeah.
I'm curious, so with all of these new niche technologies, is there one that Optimizely really likes? Maybe you've found in the marketplace that you would like 10 out of 10 recommend to a friend?
That's a great question. We're not there yet. We're still at the information gathering phase of our experimentation. We're still trying to figure out, right now we're really focused on interview scheduling. Mm-hmm. And how to make that even better. You know, one of the experiments we talked about was about interview scheduling. So we're looking for partners in the marketplace for that. And we have been doing demos, but we're just not ready to make a recommendation yet. Okay. But I'm excited for the outcome. Yeah. Hopefully we'll find one that we get really jazzed about, in which case I would love to spread the word. Mm-hmm. But if other people out there have recommendations, we are definitely accepting them.
Yeah, you heard it. If anyone out there has recommendations, send them in. We can put them in the next podcast. I kind of want to ask you now, it just seems like interview scheduling, it is such a small part of it, but we were talking about how it actually is, you know, very important. What made you guys hone in on interview scheduling? Like, if we kind of solve for this, what other things will be better about the process?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's because it is the one part of our process that involves so many different chefs in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. We have to gather availability from the candidate and funnel that to the recruiting coordinator, who then has to work magic on all of these different busy people's schedules. And our interview process, this is purely for on-site. The recruiting screens and hiring manager screens are more straightforward, but for the on-site interview, you know, we are headquartered in San Francisco, but we have offices in Austin and in New York. And we also have a team in EMEA working in like six different European offices. So it's like time zone conversions. It's not brain surgery, but it sounds really difficult to me, and I'm not even the recruiting coordinator, right? Like, so yeah, it's a really difficult process, and it's the one that we actually heard a lot of feedback from both our candidates and our hiring managers. So we run surveys from the candidate perspective and from the hiring manager perspective. Mm-hmm. And that came up as a sore subject on those surveys. So that's why we really decided to hone in there.
I definitely feel the time conversion pain. You know, with some people, daylight savings, and some people don't. Oh, yeah. And I have converted it wrong so many times. And it's always so silly. But it is the part of the process where it gets human in kind of a hard way, right? Because we're all human. We're all trying to coordinate our schedules. And it's kind of interesting to think about these ways to solve, to make it easier for everyone to get to the fun human part, which is actually meeting people.
Exactly. Because that is the most important part of our process, the on-site interviews, when you actually see them face-to-face, hopefully, or video-to-face, and get to know our team, which our candidates say is the most important part of their process, just having that human element, meeting the people here at Optimizely is what makes or breaks their experience. So it's important that we get it right.
Awesome. Well, I think those are all my questions for you. And we just wish you the best of luck in the further experimentation, getting the candidates into your awesome office. It looks beautiful from what I see.
Thank you.
And just thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Anytime. Thanks for your time as well.
Well, I think we can all agree that Talisa is awesome and her hack was amazing. So if you found this session really interesting, you might want to check out our next Hiring Success Conference. It's happening in just a few days in Amsterdam, but there's still time to grab tickets at www.smartrecruiters.com/hiringsuccess/Europe. And you can get 30% off when you use the code HSPODCAST30. So I hope to see you all there. Thank you so much for listening to the Hiring Success Podcast. Next week, we'll be talking to the one and only Matt Alder. You may know him from his podcast, Recruiting Future, or his book, Exceptional Talent. But either way, you don't want to miss out. So don't forget to subscribe to get notified when the next episode is out and a new one comes out every month. Well, guys, thanks so much. Have a good one.